And welcome back to Build Live, sponsored by Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren, and I'm joined today by Group Program Manager Claude Remier. And we are going to be talking about some of the changes that have been coming to DevTest Labs.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So, and kind of part of the idea behind these changes is that using DevTest Labs, in an ideal scenario, people could actually run hackathons or other types of group projects better. Is that correct?
Yes.
Great. So why don't you give us a little bit of a background about what DevTest Labs has been, where it exists now, and then we can talk about what's going to be happening in the future.
Okay. So yeah, we first created DevTest Labs as a way for dev teams to create, you know, either development environment or test environments. And the idea of the lab is we create that construct, a lab where we can set up a number of policies and a number of templates. So a developer can get into the lab and get a VM quickly or get a Azure service quickly in that kind of sandbox environment. And under a number of policies that the IT guys can put so that we can control cost and we can make sure things are standard from a usability and security side. And the service has been out for a few years, and we have lots of users, and it's been evolving. Somewhere along the way, we started seeing people using DevTest Labs for other things than dev and test, running hackathons or training. We had a number of universities kind of realizing that using a DevTest Labs, they could set a policy of one VM per person with a standard image. And working with them, we realized that we needed to do something simpler for non-dev and testers, but for somebody at a conference getting a VM to run an exercise or, again, a training scenario for internal training on a new version of an app. So that's basically what we added Azure Lab Services kind of as the new umbrella. So we're no longer doing just dev and test, but we're doing all kinds of labs,
right. Yeah. And when you guys were first coming up with the idea of what is now going to be kind of Azure Lab Services, but you know previously DevTest Labs, had you envisioned these other use cases, or was it a surprise to you to see what customers were doing with it?
I'd say, yeah, we did not see it as much as this. Some of it was really discovery. We started seeing some of the customers talking with them, and customers are very ingenious. And they started using it and saying, hey, I have these tools, and I'll use that for that scenario. And we started getting demands and saying, well, can you add this, remove that? I want to use it for this scenario. And we have something like 17, 18 scenarios we've identified over the last 3 years, and we're now trying to build fit-for-purpose experiences for those different scenarios, make it really, really easy for different types of users in there.
Amazing. It's great. Now, did you want to do it? Do we want to do a demo and kind of see where we're at, or what?
Well, I was thinking if I'll take a few minutes just to show what a DevTest Lab is, and then show what the new services.
And then show what the new services are. All right, great. Yeah. So we can go to Claude's computer and take a look at what he's doing. That'd be great.
Here you
go.
So the idea of the lab is we create that lab for a team or a group with a goal. In this case, I have one lab for my team. So if I go into that lab as a developer, when I get in there, I have a number of VMs available to me, a test box or a test environment, which can be pretty much anything we can create in Azure can be added to the lab.
So anything you can create in Azure can be added to the lab.
Yes.
So it can be in any operating system, any kind of setup, whatever.
Yes,
that can be
SQL, Azure, Service Fabric, and the way it works for these. So for VMs, we treat really kind of two things: VMs and environments, which are everything else. And in an environment, we define them to an Azure Resource Manager template.
Okay.
Kind of the language defined things in Azure. For VMs, we did additional things to make it easier. Like it's a very common scenario. So we have specific things for VM in addition to what we have for environment. So in this scenario, if you look at what I have, so I have these things, like I have two VMs. We also added for some of these cases the ability to create VMs to the lab for the team. So those are claimable VMs that we can create them overnight with the latest build of the team.
Okay.
And then a developer or a tester the next day can just go claim a VM, and it starts the VM, and it's ready for them to test, at the end of which they can get rid of it.
Great. So basically, once they create it, it's using whatever the latest code is automatically, so they can just create it and then get rid of it when it's done.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, that's very cool.
Then we add, so from the developer, it makes it easy. The other thing we, of course, so you can have yours, you can have the ones that the team got got prepared automatically with their build system, or you can go and create your own. So I'm just going to go over a few of the options there.
Sure.
But when I create, I can create again an environment that's defined from an ARM template. We have a list of those, and you can add your own. So basically, it's a combination of a private list and a public list that we put together. You can also start from an image. So any VM in the lab, you can save an image. You can also save a snapshot as an image, and then
recreate it. Yes. Okay, so if you have an environment that you really like for your testing purposes, or going back to it again and again, you can go ahead, save that snapshot, make that an image, and then use that
right
over again.
So
awesome.
we made that. And the other option is to start from something in the marketplace. And what we do in there for a lab is we let you select out of the whole marketplace, these are the 5 or 10 or 6 that my team needs, so that it's simpler again to go get what you need. So let's say if I start from a, and again, the lab does Windows or Linux. I'll just pick a Windows VM. And then from there, as a user, you just give it a name, username, and password you want in there. And with that, you can create the VM right away. So it's very streamlined. We also added this other thing, again, to facilitate for VMs, is common tools developer and testers install on them. So
okay,
those are listed in an open source repository that we have on GitHub. And basically from there, you can go and just pick things you want to add to your VM. For example, I want to add Chrome to my VM after I've created it. Or I want to add our own software that we're working on to it. Then I just pick them and basically add it to the VM. And again, those are part of that, you extending and adding your own pointer to your own bits to add to the VM at creation.
Amazing. Now, is it possible to create a VM that already has those things preloaded so that you don't have to go through that process again? Or
yes.
Okay.
So there's two. Either you can create one, bake it, save it as an image, or the old thing, which that's a great leading question. That's fantastic. Or the other thing I kind of skipped here, once you've selected all of these things, we can save it as a formula. So if you want to install every time, we have this concept of the formula. So
you
just save it all as a formula for your team, and then you just
and then every single time just go that.
So username, password, go, you get a VM.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're working on actually saving preference for VM name and username and password on the VM so that you just go create.
So it's basically just kind of a script to automate like however you want
yes.
things named so you can have a history of them if you need to.
And when we look in the lab, so it's very powerful. Again, when you think about it, for a developer or a tester setting up environments, there's lots of flexibility. We also have, and I'll just go into the policies we have behind, and I'll just skip over there. So there's a number of policies that we have in there, which allows the team to manage their environment. So one of the things we do is we track all the cost in the lab. We give a projection of how you're doing this month, and you can set thresholds to get email. Our idea is not to explain what you spend, but more give you the information as you go, so you prevent overspending in your lab, and then look at which resources is spending what. You can set things like, in this lab, these are the VM size we allow, number of VM per users, and all these conditions, which often are set up once by the IT or the management side, which basically creates a cap on spending for this lab. And then the devs can just go and they know if they create in the lab, it's legal, they can go and get what they need when they need it.
That's good.
Again, it's very flexible, very powerful. You can add your own bits and so on and so forth. However, when customers starting to try to use it more for hackathon or training, or we had a customer using it for Excel training internally, it got very complicated getting the UI, getting in.
Because every single person has to go through that process, or you might have to create the image or the formulas to then distribute to them, and that takes, that takes time, right?
Yeah, and the understanding of Azure and the teacher was easy for them, was not as easy to go and work on it. So that's why we ended up in evolving into creating the Azure Lab services for these other scenarios. So I'll go into the Azure Lab service. So you set up one lab account in Azure in the portal centrally for the whole organization, and then from there you add lab creators. So the lab creator, let's say a teacher or a trainer or somebody running a hackathon, actually creating a lab is is a very simplified version.
Yeah, okay, so it was a lot of the same ideas, but you can tell, I mean, rather than having the portal interface, which we all know and love,
right,
but other people might not be as familiar with, this is much cleaner,
right,
and much more simple.
And they go to labs.azure.com, and from there, again, it's Azure behind the scenes,
right,
completely, but from there, you can then just go and give a name to your lab, pick a size. The sizes we offer are limited. Again, with simplification comes simplification of choices at
okay.
the same time.
Fair enough. I mean, because if you really want to be custom, then you're probably better off using the
DevTest Labs, which actually is interesting. So as we go forward, the DevTest Labs will rename as the custom labs in
okay.
lab services.
That's interesting, which makes sense. So everything will be under the lab services umbrella, and then what we now know as DevTest Labs will end up being custom labs.
Custom labs, and then
that's what they are. I mean,
yes. Where you control everything, and then if you want to use a classroom archetype, then you go to the other lab services. And
got it.
Then you can pick, you know, the base OS, let's say I'll take Windows, and then you just put the username and password that you want the students to have to use to get into the VM. So I won't go to the creation, so I'll, you know, go to our already baked cake.
Sure.
So let's all go into this lab. Well, I have waited too long, so let me just refresh. Again, after a certain time, we're just normal security. So I opened everything a little ahead of time. But basically when you get into defining the lab, the first thing we do is at lab creation, we create one VM for the teacher or the trainer, and we call it the template VM because we have lots of imagination. And then you can kind of name it what the students will see or the trainee will see. And then you can connect to it and modify it, install what you want. So there's no artifact, none of that. It's really you go and install it as you do on a physical machine or
okay.
any other VM. And once you're satisfied with it, then you publish the VM itself. So you basically go and make it public.
Okay.
This one's already published. And then what we do at that point is we create all the VMs that you specified for the lab. And I kind of skipped that step, but basically, here I had, for example, 12 VMs.
But you have 12 different VMs, you have 12 different steps or different modules. You'd create one for each
right.
of those. And then when it publishes, as you go through, I guess as the student goes through each module, they would access each VM.
Right. Or you can create 50 times,
right.
50 students, each gets one VM, and it's
oh, gotcha.
The same
okay.
VM.
So that's okay. That's actually important to know. So if you have 50 students, you still need to create 50 VMs.
50 VMs.
Okay.
And the way the service works is we only start incurring cost when the student uses it for preparing them and having them waiting. We're basically there's no cost.
There's no cost
it's
there.
It's really
just as soon as it started.
Right. Then we start.
So if you're organizing like a hackathon, for instance, and you're not really sure how many people are going to be showing up,
yeah.
you say, okay, we had 300 RSVPs. So we create 300,
right.
Just throwing numbers out there. But if only 225 show up and then only 175 start it, you're only going to be billed for that smaller
right.
number.
Right, and then for the number of hours they actually
right.
use it.
Okay.
So it makes it very specific to the end usage that you have. And the way right now we just launched this week, so we're planning additional things, but.
Sure.
So the first way to get student in is basically just giving them an access code. So the lab account in which you create this lab is used for authentication. So they need to have access to
okay.
Your .edu or your company. And then you basically give them, you can copy the invite code and send it into an email or let's say, and they would click on the link, which is the same as this. And basically, the students, upon entering them, if you gave them that code, we give them a VM automatically. So upon joining, and we start it, and then they can start working.
Then they can
with
start
it.
Working immediately. And what they see is going to, obviously, they don't
right.
have some of the same tools that the instructor or
right.
creator would see.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the big value prop on this we found from the our customers is less is more.
Yes.
So what the student sees is I have this VM from this class, this VM from that other training. The concept of lab is not really in there. So it's really what they have available in the service from any source. So we put them there, and then basically they can go and, you know, connect to the VM. So it's going to start it, and then they'll connect and start working on it, and then stop the VM at the other end. So I mean, just it's very simple. And at the end, when the trainer removes them or closes the lab, then they just go away. So from the end user, it's there. You use it. Once you're done, you're done.
Once you're done, you're done. Yeah. Is there any way to export data from the students from those labs and from these VMs?
So today, no. But yes, it's something that we have that we're going to ask. We'll probably give away. We already added the ability to take a VM from one lab, bring it into another lab.
And that's good, because I could see people wanting to reuse things
right.
or share. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing also that we'll do very shortly, which again we saw in the DevTest labs, is this idea of the images that we have. So at creation of a lab, we'll be able to say, okay, I'm saving that image and I'm storing it or making a snapshot, and then I can reuse it later.
It in the future, which might be useful if you're giving the same training over and over again.
Exactly.
Or, you know, even if it's a class and it's, you know, the same semester, or a different semester.
Or different teachers. Like creating a library of common bases to create labs from.
Yeah. So on that note, I mean, obviously when we were looking at the DevTest labs, there's the marketplace where you can go there. Are there thoughts that there might be a marketplace or at least a more public kind of repository for these images other than just the ones that we might curate?
Yeah, so our idea is do a bit what we've done with the in lab is actually put things in the marketplace and then let you start adding things from the marketplace
gotcha.
To your lab. Again, those are capabilities we have in our service that eventually will start showing up into these experiences. The goal we have is really to keep the end user experience, the teacher or the conference goer, very, very simple. And then we'll start getting some of these reusable things.
Reusable things, yes.
Yeah.
So because the main focus is whoever's using this, they need to have an easy to use, easy to access
right.
experience to get into these labs. But obviously it will be useful if people who are creating those images can customize them
yes.
more.
Yes, and then save them, share them, and version them. So we're looking at all of these.
Let me ask you one thing, and maybe I'm dumb and I missed something, but is it possible right now to, in this Azure Lab Services, go ahead and bring in a VM that I created in DevTest Labs?
So right now, no, but that's something we're going to have very, very shortly.
Okay, so I could see that as being kind of maybe if you have someone on your team who wants to take that role, if they do need to be more involved
yes.
in the creation process, but then easy to import
yes.
on the other
so
on the other interface.
Yeah, so we do it right now kind of on demand. The customer goes on the lab, and then we put it in there, but we're going to add that user interface very, very shortly.
Okay.
So that we have all the basics. Again, we wanted to
sure, you wanted to get it out there.
Get it out,
and get
the feedback, and we also currently have a limited more to try the new service. It's 5 VMs per class. You do have, if you want to run a bigger lab, you can send us an email, and then we'll grow it up on demand.
Okay, so right now it's limited to 5 VMs.
It's limited to 5, and then a little later on, then we're going to open up the limit quite significantly. One of the advantages we have with the lab service is it's a logical lab, so we could actually, going forward for the larger customers, we have, for example, in large testing scenarios, the ability to create one of lab service, one managed lab that sits on top of 4 or 5 different DTLs or backing labs that sits in multiple subscriptions. So that allows us to scale
yeah,
in a very
okay.
significant way.
Which I would imagine would be great for, some big corporations, but also for universities who
yes,
have
thousands of users.
Might have thousands of users and lots of subscriptions across different maybe
right.
you know disciplines or
right.
whatnot. Yeah.
So basically it giving us that ability. Again, so those are things that will come throughout the summer, and we'll continue building and exploring. And again, we take a lot of feedback from users. A lot of what we've built is based on that. And we're very, very active on pushing on lab right now.
So where can, A, where can people get started with this right now? Is this on Azure?
Yes. So the first step really is to go on the Azure portal. You look for a lab account or Azure Lab Services.
Azure Lab Services, okay.
And I'll just go show what the lab account. So basically what you need to create is a lab account. And so this is in the portal. This is the first thing. This is where, for example, a central IT or somebody who's going to, the person who's going to pay the bill.
And kind of, yes. Exactly. Kind of take on the hard work right now.
Right.
They set things up. Okay.
And from there, then they can add lab creators, people who are allowed to go create.
Okay. So then these are the people who will have that first interface that we looked at.
Right. And then from there, you go to Azure Labs, labs.azure.com. And that's where you go create the different labs.
Okay. Awesome. And when where can people go to give feedback on this product?
So we do have on Azure.com, there is a Azure Lab Services page, and in there we have our user voice, MSDN forums, and actually we also have the team blog. So those are three good places to go and provide feedback, and we try to be very, very active on responding and answering feedback.
Well, this is really exciting. I mean, I think about hackathons I've been to or even trainings, and oftentimes the setup process of getting involved can be more complicated, especially if people are using older systems. This makes a lot of sense because it is using the cloud, but you can just kind of go directly into it and not have to waste a lot of time that you might not have setting things up.
Yeah, it's really all kinds of labs. If you need to, if you have a lab somewhere, then our goal is go make it in Azure and make it easy. And per scenario, if you need a lot of power, go in DevTest Labs. If you need something straightforward, direct, and easy, then go into Lab Services. And our goal is to cover all these types of labs as we go forward.
I love it. And well, Claude, we are out of time.
All right.
Thank you so much for the demo. Thanks for showing everything off. And as we said, it's in the Azure portal. Check out Lab Services. And also check out DevTest Labs if you just need some great DevTest Labs.
Yes. All right. Thanks
so much. All right.